Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the world's very first staring into the middle distance contest. Our contestants, lining up and limbering up, are as follows. Professor Brian Cox.
Good form. He's got good form.
Barely blinking.
Looking into infinity.
Charlie Fairhead from the TV series Casualty.
Dramatic. Oh, yes. Charlie is an old hat.
Things he's seen.
Just dramatic.
He's a veteran starer.
And from the US, Captain America.
Oh. I don't know. I think he's been frozen too long. Yeah, there was definitely an eyebrow twitch
but there. He'll be fixed at one point, staring for 70 years.
This is true.
And for some added might, The Rock.
Good staring.
Interesting eyebrow action.
That's good.
And finally, the cast of Lawrence of Arabia.
Contest over. Synchronised staring into the middle distance at its finest.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I am...
I'm sorry, because I was nice to you last time, but this time you're a tosspot.
Oh.
It's just balancing, I don't think it really... I know, I'm sorry.
Not a tosspot.
No, I know you're not a tosspot, it's just I was nice to you last time, and people might think I'm some sort of changeling. All right, you're not a tosspot, you're my huggy squeezy toy.
You're my huggy squeezy toy.
Oh, God. If Jean, unfortunately, she ran away with the Lone Ranger. That's the one. Mm-hmm. It was a very expensive running away because she first had to invent time travel and go back in time and find the really sexy version of the Lone Ranger and run off with him.
Okay.
She'll be back soon.
Not the Disney version, then.
Not the Disney version.
Oh, definitely
version,
not. At the moment, she's feeling a little hoarse, but that's a strange kink of hers.
Anyway, without further ado, staring into the middle distance besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
A Christmas screening.
Ooh, okay.
Would you like to attend an early screening? Oh, okay. Right, next. Would you like to attend an early screening of the upcoming Doctor Who Christmas special? If so, the BBC has a competition for you. For those in the UK and the US of A, you can enter the Friendship is Universal lottery to win the chance to see the episode before it airs, with up to 29 guests of your choice in your local cinema.
Blimey.
Apparently the screening will be somewhere between the 14th and 18th of December, but if your closest cinema will really be taking part is currently unclear, especially if it's an independent. Perhaps they will seek to fill the cinemas they have agreements with by offering tickets to more and more people until they fill each screening. Entries will only be accepted until the 13th of October, so get your skates on if you wish to be in with a chance. Link in the show notes.
That is not a lot of time.
That's your birthday on the 13th.
It is.
You'll
it
be 60.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, we all have to enter this competition then.
Oh, yeah. I've already done so. We'll see what happens. I presume it's going to be a free ticket or... I don't know.
They're not going to say you've won a competition, bring 29 people and make them pay 13 quid a pop.
I wouldn't be entirely surprised.
The competition winner will probably get him free, but the 29 mates have got to pay
They've got
the,
to cough up.
That's not how it works.
We'll see.
Because otherwise, you've won a competition and they're just saying, oh, find 29 people who want to come to the cinema. We need the money.
Which is why it's going to be weird if you'll say, oh, I want 10 tickets. So then their offer 20 tickets to somebody else, presumably. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to work, but it's going to be interesting. Apparently there are free drinks or something.
Oh, I hope they do it at Cineworld.
I expect they will. We'll see what happens.
We shouldn't be telling people about this, though.
No, but why are they doing this rather than just doing it regular?
Yeah.
You can go and watch it. Okay, it's going to be Christmas Day, so that's tricky.
Yeah. I've also got a problem.
What's your problem?
Isn't the 13th before this podcast comes out?
It's the day it goes out.
Ooh. Get clicking on that link, people.
Big Finish!
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. More audio mongering.
Yes.
What are they like?
Those Big Finishers continue the quest to pump their wares into your ears and now have a new Doctor Who Lost story for us.
Ooh.
Genesis of the Cybermen.
Ooh.
Features Peter Davison, Janet Fielding, Sarah Sutton and Matthew Waterhouse as Team Fifth Doctor go back to Jerry Davis's unused 1980s story of the Cybermen creation. Well, not entirely unused, as David Banks did feature it in his big Cyberman book. They synopsisize it as...
A king lies dying in his castle. His eldest son, Prince Sylvian, is an artist with no desire to inherit a kingdom, while Prince Dagger toils in his laboratory, dedicated to saving their dying people from extinction. They will all burn unless he succeeds.
Ooh. Meanwhile, they have a touch of crinoids going on in a new three-story box set, starring Rhys Shearsmith, best known for League of Gentlemen, for Inside Number 9, and his role in the lamentable Capaldi Doctor Who story, Sleep No More.
Capaldi.
The second story of the box set will feature Paul McGann's Doctor, Planet Crinoid.
Ooh.
Nightfall, is available for pre-order now and will be released in April. Their Blake 7 lineup hasn't properly recovered from losing Paul Darrow, but to make up for their Avon-shaped hole, they have created a new audiobook version of Darrow's book, Avon, A Terrible Aspect. They describe it as...
It is a thrilling tale of family, loyalty, action and revenge during the early days of the Terran Federation that takes Avon through his early life and...
Get the stick.
Across the galaxy towards his ultimate destiny. Dun, 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 diddly, diddly, diddly.
That was unnecessary.
It will be read by Alistair Locke, released for download only in February.
You're wonderfully egg-like today. Can I touch your head?
If you must.
I'm sitting right here.
I know, but he's glorious. I'm sorry, you're glorious too.
Mm.
And so are you. Jeez.
Yeah, interesting stuff at the usual British fare, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how this new Cyberman Genesis story will fit in with spare parts, if at all.
I don't think it will fit in with spare parts. I think it will be its own little...
It is one-off, a lost story, so yeah.
One-off tale. It's not sort of meant to fit into
Earthshock.
Or even Earthshock.
None of them seem to know what Cybermen were, apart from the Doctor, at the beginning of Earthshock.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That TARDIS team.
Yeah. Mm. Perhaps there's going to be a reset button where everyone gets amnesia and forgets.
Well, it's a lost story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doctor Who, more merch.
Oh, more merch.
The 15th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver has finally been released.
Yay!
Gatua's gadget can be bought as a deluxe version directly from Character Options website. Or you can look out for your local retailer or online for the standard version shortly. The deluxe version will have a limited run and come with electroplated steel and brass-looking components.
Ooh.
Whereas the standard edition will have those same bits in regular painted fashion. It's £40 for the deluxe version and probably more like £30 for the regular, depending on the retailer of choice. With Christmas fast approaching, it's also time for a slew of new Doctor Who books to make an appearance. Penguin Books have a new sub-range called Doctor Who Icons.
Ooh.
Rather than seeing the Doctor fight off evil computer icons, these are effectively new celebrity historicals in book form. The first sees the 13th Doctor meet the illustrious artist Frida Kahlo.
Mm-hmm.
In Frida Kahlo and the Skull Children. The second is the 10th Doctor in Charles Darwin and the Silurian Survival. These will be out in October and November. Next year, we'll see the 15th Doctor meeting Shirley Jackson and the 4th Doctor and Sarah Jane meeting Fela Kuti.
Fela Kuti. Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, you might learn who most of these people are. I have no idea, apart from Charles Darwin.
Never heard of Frida Kahlo? Amazing artist.
Artist.
You'd have seen pictures. She's got a very big, like, eyebrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Monobrow thing.
Yes. Now, okay. I always thought Target Books had the monopoly on Doctor Who novels.
Target Books doesn't exist anymore. They've been bought out.
They're an imprint of Penguin now, really.
Yeah, they're bought out. They're occasionally brought out under the Target label, but as a regular seller, they don't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it Random House or is Random House the same as...
Yeah, I think Random House is, which is also a part of Penguin.
Yeah, so looking at this one here, which is Star Beast, Penguin Random House UK is the actual publisher, although it's Target imprint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, more news.
Ooh. Yep.
The Box of Delights.
Oh, yeah.
Going blue.
Ooh. Ooh.
Patrick Troughton loved a delightful box, and now his 1984 family Christmas series is coming to an upscaled Blu-ray. The 6-part BBC adaptation of John Masefield's 1935 novel, The Box of Delights, will be celebrating its 40th anniversary with remastered episodes, a new 90-minute making-of special, clips from Blue Peter, Take Two and Pebble Mill, and more. It'll be released on the 25th of November.
Mm.
It's a thing everyone watches at Christmas.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's out on DVD from about 20 years ago.
50 years, yeah.
It's not particularly great quality yet. We'll see what their Blu-ray looks like. Mm. It's upscaled, of course. But...
Chaos cancelled.
Bloody Netflix!
Yeah, again. Netflix are Netflixing again and have cancelled one of their most high-profile series, Chaos. Soon after releasing the first season to the streams, the dark comedy series starred Jeffrey Lynn Goldblum as the Greek god Zeus, David Thewlis as Hades, and Billy Paul Piper as Cassandra. With a current 83% viewer score on Rotten Tomatoes, this is the latest of many series killed by an algorithm. Hmm. Netflix have made no comment, not even an AI-generated one.
We'd watched a couple of episodes. It's on our currently watching.
It's quirky,
thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, I think the algorithm is scored to watching it all in one night. Well, if you don't watch it, it's classed as a failure.
We've discussed it before,
Mm-hmm.
It's so wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of Zeus wandering around wearing sort of shorts and a tennis jacket. Yeah. I mean,
being ultra cool.
Except in modern days.
It's
Greek mythology with a modern twist.
Yeah, it's really worth a watch.
Netflix is listed as a British production. So is it set in the UK?
Crete or somewhere.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It was sunny, so we know it wasn't the UK.
Certainly wasn't the moment.
I like it because the scene where Eurydice is being taken, carried across the River Styx, you get the impression of some skeletal-like figure in a rowing boat taking her across. But she's being taken across on a dirty great passenger ferry.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. You think you have to get a lot of people in nowadays.
Any addendums?
I have an addendum.
Oh, you have an addendum. You've always got an addendum.
Yeah.
It's why I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, God.
Back to my favourite subject, Doctor Who role-playing game. Again, this is another fan-made source book.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well done, very high quality, but it's absolutely free to download. It's from the forum site. But... last year, someone did a Sapphire and Steel sourcebook, plotting all the TV episodes. They also included a few characters from The Big Finish, but because the guy hadn't heard any of The Big Finishes, he couldn't say. Earlier this month, Big Finish re-released all their Sapphire and Steels.
Oh, yes.
So we now have Sapphire and Steel reassigned, which includes all the plot lines from the Lookin magazine. All the stories that ran through the Lookin magazine. And also all the Big Finish plot lines. Now, admittedly, the Lookin ones are rather simple.
Two-dimensional, really, aren't they?
Dated.
Well, are rather simple plot lines, and apparently PJ Hammond was aware of it, but ignored it and didn't take a good look at it.
Sure.
So they did take liberties, shall we say, with the mythology.
But also the sex scene between Sapphire and Steel in the third edition. Wow, I mean, I was 12. Looking was sort of aimed at 12, 13-year-olds. Sorry.
Got to teach them at some point.
But, it's got a nice little plot threads and story hooks for the Big Finish series. Mm-hmm. And also it's got a nice little graph and table where you can randomly generate storylines.
Okay.
I would have thought being Looking magazine, it would have been a photo love story between sort of.
It was drawn, if I remember rightly, by Arthur Ransom. And he takes photographs and uses them as basis from the... Mm. So the likenesses are spot on.
Mm. Right. Was that your only addendum?
That was my only addendum, I'm afraid.
And that's the end of the
news. There is one which we didn't cover last time, did we? Because I think it only happened 11 days ago. Maggie Smith.
Dead.
Ah, yes. Ooh, yes. Dead.
The didn't wonderful, have much crossover wonderful into Maggie
our
Smith.
World, no, but Harry Potter, the obvious.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, Professor McGonagall. Mm. Have you ever seen the old lady in a van? Yeah. Watch that.
Well, Downton Abbey.
Of course, Downton Abbey.
She was in Gosford Park. One of my exotic marigolds.
I'm not a great watcher of Downton Abbey, but one of my favourite lines is from her: "Is I do not insult people; I describe them accurately."
But yeah, the best exotic marigold hotel. She's very, very good in both of those.
The tea.
Described explaining to a poor waiter how to make tea after he presented her with a cup of boiled water and a bag on a string. 89 years old?
A good innings, yes.
Yeah, she was something special.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe met her when he was 9 and he was filming his first role.
Oh, really? Okay. Before Potter.
Before Potter, yeah.
And he was fascinated by her and he said, I said something to her like, "Do I have to call you Dame?" And she looked at me and went, "Don't be ridiculous." Yeah, kind of a legend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Good friend with... M, what's her name?
Judy Dench.
Judy Dench, yes.
And Sir Ian McKellen, who did a very, very good Maggie Smith on Saturday Night Live once.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was spot on the nose. And that's the end of the news. Now, we decided to do something a little bit different. I don't think we've ever covered this before.
No.
We decided to watch some of the best Tales of the Unexpected.
Mm. Bing, bing,
pause
bing,
for
bing,
music.
Bing, 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 bing.
The music, can I just say, bing, I still, bing, when bing. I try to hum it, I'm humming Once Upon a Dream from Bloody Hell. I know you, I walked with you once upon a dream.
Oh, actually, and it's a Ron Grainer.
It was Ron Grainer, yeah.
Good old Ronnie.
Yeah, childhood memories of that theme tune.
Snap.
I did. I sort of fell in love with it at quite a young age. One of my memories, I must have just not been able to sleep or something, because it would have been the late 70s. Yes. So I was probably about 9 years old. And I came downstairs for a cuddle with my parents. And that music, I'd heard that music. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Joan Collins about to get her head chopped off. And it kind of scared me and kind of made me go, "Oh, I want to see some more of that." But
we
referred to a list IMDb that said these are the 12 best tales of the unexpected. I call bollocks on that list.
Oh, well, yes, probably.
The number one on the list, which was Flypaper, was very, very good. Yeah, Hadn't seen that one before.
It was excellent. The thing itself is tame. Nothing vicious, nasty or bloodletting happens in it. But it's the implications.
Yeah, it's tales with a twist
It's an anthology series.
Yes.
I thought it would be in the vein of Twilight Zone, Outer Limits.
That's what I thought.
It wasn't supernatural at all, the opening credits almost implying that.
Yeah, the tales are more macabre.
Yes.
There are a few supernatural tales, ish ones in there.
I didn't see any of those on this list.
They're not on the list. That list. This is the problem we had.
Me and Fake Keith went off topic.
Yeah, because none of our favourites were on that list.
Oh, okay.
The episode with the young man and the young woman, sort of the young man standing at that girl's house. They say her late brother and her father will be home soon after hunting.
Oh, yes. The open window.
Open window, that's it. I weren't sure whether they were a ghost family or not.
I think they were just gaslighting her in the end.
Before gaslighting was, it had a word.
Mm. Yes, gaslighting him, I suppose, yes. So I think the daughter was saying that they had died in a hunting accident and they hadn't, and implying that her mother had gone mad. When she hadn't, she was expecting them to come home, which they were going to do. And I think that was meant to be the twist.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so the ones we saw that were meant to be the best of, I don't remember at all actually watching at the time.
Yeah.
Well, I never really watched it at the time.
Well, we went off topic, and there are a few that I remember to this day.
I'm sure, yeah.
And those are the ones that I think are the better ones because they stuck in my memory.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one, Susan George was a big name back then, and she's in two of our favourites. Funny enough, in one she's pregnant, in another one she's got a small baby. So,
It's not the same character.
This. There's an episode called Lamb to the Slaughter.
Mm.
And these things are like 40-odd years old, so we're not going to spoil the music. We're going to basically tell you what happened.
This is it.
She comes home from the shop and her husband is lying dead in the living room.
Her
bludgeoned.
Detective. He's
a copper. So, of course, she picks up the phone and she calls his mates at the police station. And, she's panicking. And the coppers, who are led by Brian Blessed.
Okay. Yeah, a very young guy.
He had a baby beard,
didn't he?
And they come charging to the house to see what's happened to their buddy because he's a salt of the earth copper. Yeah. And, oh my God, this is terrible. And Susan George, meanwhile, is in shock. And she's got to get the dinner ready.
He likes his dinner on time. She's fixating.
Yeah. She'd got some lamb out of the freezer. And aren't freezers amazing? Because freezers then, I remember us getting our first freezer. It was, and so she'd got this big leg of lamb out of the freezer and she had to cook it. And so she's put it in the oven. Brian Blessed is clearly thinking, damn, she's in shock. And is trying to comfort her. And they're assessing the scene.
No disrespect, but it's Brian Blessed, big chunky lad who's playing a tough copper, trying to comfort this distraught woman.
They're there.
Somebody get a police woman. They're there.
He literally was.
Yeah.
But basically, eventually the leg of lamb cooks and that, and she's, what do I do? So she feeds the coppers. Great. They all tuck into this leg of lamb. And it's all brilliant.
While they're eating it, they're discussing the case. Yep, sort of. He was bludgeoned to death, so it must have been a tire iron.
And she basically found out that he's having an affair, and she'd taken this frozen leg of lamb and bludgeoned him to death with it, cooked the evidence and fed it to the police. And just at the end, one of the coppers is leaving and he suddenly turns round and the camera zooms in on the leg of lamb, the bone, that's all that's left. Mm. And he goes, and walks towards it, picks it up, puts it in the bin for her.
Yes. Who was it who said that the twists in the Tales Unexpected are pretty signposted?
Sometimes, if you're just not aware or you're not thinking properly. Yes.
But with Lamb to the Slaughter, it's one I still remember to this day.
I remember
telling you about it a couple of years ago. That's what I mean. It was locked in my little baby brain as I watched it just before I went to bed.
There's another one called Royal Jelly, which is about Timothy West, isn't it?
Timothy West.
And he's a simple farmer who keeps bees, and his baby's not flourishing. She's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. So he feeds her royal jelly. And that one's a bit out there because the implication at the end with the 1970s special effect is this baby is turning into a queen bee.
So my favourite of the bunch has to be the one about the Will-O' the Wisp killer.
Okay, because there are some of the season 7, 8-ish were American.
Yeah, made out in the States, you know.
Yeah, I don't quite know. There's also a Quinn Martin thing called Tales of the Unexpected. Well, I don't know if that's related.
I don't know, but certainly the first couple of seasons was narrated by Roald Dahl.
Yeah, Roald Dahl, yes.
And it was Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected.
Yeah, he provided an introduction.
And then halfway through, or the latter half, that got dropped.
Mm, yeah.
It didn't appear anymore.
Yeah. But yes, that American one, yeah.
The twist Brad at Dourif, the end, yes. Where Brad Dourif, I mean, he's called at the market in slightly unhinged people.
He's insane looking. He's amazing.
I know, it's just those eyes.
I
mean,
yeah, it's another one which where I saw the twist coming a mile off. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not... yeah. That's the thing. It's not necessarily the destination in these things. Yeah. It's how you
it's
get
the,
there.
It's the journey.
If I remember rightly, as I said, the time slot for it, it was very much... tea time horror or tea time chills. You can't
it was
get
a bit later that.
It's sort of 8-9 o'clock.
Yeah. I'm saying it's tea time because I remember having tea while watching it. And it was about the last thing I watched before I went to bed on a Sunday night.
Mm. Yeah, I remember I should have been in bed when I came down and saw the opening credits, heard the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, another one that I did like, again, another American production, was Scrimshaw.
Okay, yes.
We didn't watch Scrimshaw.
You could see the end coming a mile away.
What's it about?
It's about this young dispossessed woman who sort of ends up sort of somewhere down sort of Florida way, and she meets an old friend of hers who's into a scrimshaw carving. But the thing is, he's run out of things to sort of etch carvings on, and she's next on the list.
He can't get ivory anymore, so human bone instead.
Yes.
Yeah, there are several like that where people were being used. So the first one I watched was The Landlady.
I did like that one.
And again, one, it's cool. Basically the same plot. Yeah. Instead of using the bones to carve, she taxidermies them. She was stuffing them.
Her house guests, the same
plot.
Yeah.
But it was some of them, you know, you look at them with nostalgic eyes, it's so very 70s.
Yeah.
Like with The Landlady, when he's walking, where did he go?
Bath.
Yeah, he's walking from Bath Station, which doesn't look like that anymore. And
it doesn't.
Through streets that you recognise vaguely. And some of the old cars, wow.
Oh, good grief, yeah. Bosom Friends, that was very much a cuckoo in the nest story, that was. A woman, an old biddy, moves in one of her old school friends and literally starts taking over her life.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The fly paper was good. Mm. It was basically a body of a young girl has been found, and you're with this other young girl, about 14, 15 years old, and there's a creepy man following her, and that very,
very
creepy
definite
man.
Creepy, even down to the black rain man.
Oh, yeah, he was sort of Stranger textbook danger. Creepy.
Yeah.
He gets chased off by this old woman who'd seen him on the bus, and she's effing and blinding at him.
A cosy looking old woman.
Lovely old lady.
Yeah, yeah.
And the old lady takes the girl home so that she can ring her mum or her nan because she hasn't got any parents. As the girl's going for the phone, which of course has been, the wire's been cut or something, the door opens and the man, creepy man, comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And the old woman's basically the flypaper to catch the flies so he can then kill him. And she was such a nice old lady.
Yeah.
Probably hunting a little too close to home there. I think that might have caught up with her fairly quickly. But don't apply too much logic to the story.
Oh, no, exactly. It's just, poor girl.
Yeah. Stephanie Cole was in that one too.
She was.
Yeah. Quite a few famous faces here and there.
There are faces,
Third one on the list was Wink 3 Times, which had Peter Davison and Lisa Goddard.
Good grief.
And it was basically a farce.
Yeah.
She was trying to meet an escort at a hotel, and he met an old friend who said, if you wink 3 times to this guy at the hotel, he'd bring in a woman for you for the night. And the rooms get mixed up, so these two get paired off together. And
so it was a bedroom farce.
It was, basically.
Oh, speaking of meals, the luncheon. I was howling at the TV at that one. It's about a struggling young author who meets up with a woman who sort of allegedly is interested in turning his book into a film.
Oh, it's one by Jeffrey Archer.
Yes.
And
it was just the end, and I was just thinking, you cow!
I bet that actually happened as well. I bet it's probably based on a real story, given it was Jeffrey Archer that wrote it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's an author, amongst other things.
The one that's always in my mind, though, which again was the first one, is called Neck.
Yeah.
And it starred Joan Collins and, what's his name, Peter Bowles.
Sir John Gielgud as well.
And Sir John Gielgud. Oh, okay. That's wonderful. And Joan Collins has basically married... clearly a millionaire.
Yeah, into money,
and
into
she's
lordship.
A total... She's Alexis from Dynasty. She's a total cow. And it's all money and possessions and society and that.
And her husband, but not with her husband.
And her husband is just bimbling through life. He likes collecting art for the house and the garden. And he's got this piece of modern art, which is like a big archway with a big
wooden
thing with a bit cut out of the bottom and a hole cut near the top, and he's got it on his plinth. And she's just a horrible woman all the way through.
Yeah.
And she ends up, her and Peter Bowles are doing whoopee in the grounds while pretending to play tennis.
Doing whoopee?
Oh, yeah. And they spot the husband and his friend, who I'm sure his friend wanted to get a bit of stuff with him as well, but they didn't go that far with the story. And they pretend that they were admiring the art.
Yes.
And so they're taking pictures and messing around with the art. And so she decides to do one of those seaside photos and puts her head through the hole. Mm. And he takes the picture and she can't get her head out. Mm. And they're thinking of all the things that could possibly be done to get her head out without damaging the art. You know, lard, fairy liquid, etc., etc.
Pulling.
And Sir John Gielgud, in the end, went and got an axe. But not to cut the art.
No.
And it finishes as her husband swinging the axe down to her
bringing,
neck.
Bringing it down. But what I loved about that is Sir John Gielgud was playing the butler, the gentleman's gentleman. I'm not sure if this was before or after Arthur, but it's the same, virtually the same role. It is a wonderful scene where we have Joan Collins, who, as we've described, is quite a lavicious nympho. And there's a he goes to see the house guest, and so one recommends a chair shoved under the door handle, sir.
Another one was a straight out of Lovejoy, Who's Got the Lady, where they set up a pretend art theft.
Yeah.
And they've been copying this piece of art.
Yeah.
And then they imply the one which is in the gallery has been switched. So it's a fake, but it's not. It's a real
it's
one.
A real one.
Just so they can then sell lots of fakes, which I'm sure has been done.
It's bound to have
been done. I'm sure I've seen that particular plot. It's a very good one.
Because it was 70s, this may be the first time that plot line has appeared. Or certainly it's very rare for it to.
Because there was the one set on the farm with the old lady.
Oh, yes.
And the rag and bone man, essentially. He's a right chancer, played by Bernard's...
I thought it was Bill Maynard.
Bill Maynard, that was it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a right chancer. He's just been, he goes round finding decent stuff, offering people a pittance and taking it away and selling it. And her farmhouse is full of stuff like that, including an undiscovered constable painting.
Mm-hmm. It was also, going back to faces, it was Michael Troughton as his
son. It was. He's on the back of this painting. It says lot 14. You peel back the lot number and it says
it's Constable.
Artist John Constable. And he realises he's hit the bleeding jackpot here. So he tricks this doddery old woman into letting him have the painting and the frame. And it's the frame that's the important bit.
Yeah, he's buying it for the frame.
Yeah, for £300, which, as you can imagine, in late 70s was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And she takes the money, he goes off, her son comes back and he charges us off after him to get the painting back. And you're thinking, oh my God, but she's basically is a con woman. She's painting these things and sticking the
labels
on the back,
and
flogging them to people for 300 quid a time.
And all these are only 25 minutes long as well.
They're not a single episode of Classic Who.
Not an entire story, just an episode.
So
easily digestible.
We do recommend them if you can get to see them. I don't think they're on any sort of streaming service. They're too old. But we got the DVDs. An awful lot of them are on YouTube.
Yeah, perhaps all of them,
And as we said, some of them are over simple. Some of them are just absolutely brilliant. And an awful lot of them are very, very odd.
Certainly for the older person out there, you'll recognise this face from being very young.
You don't know the names, you recognise all the faces of the
police. Yeah. So watch Tales of the Unexpected and then tell us what you think. Via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Bing, 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 bing,
you. I walked with you once.
Bing, 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 bing.
I have a 30-second recommendation.
Okay, what is your 30-second recommendation?
It's on BBC One. It's called Ludwig. You can catch it on the iPlayer. It stars David Mitchell as a puzzle writer whose pen name is Ludwig, hence the Ludwig. His brother, his identical twin brother, is a copper and he's gone missing in mysterious circumstances. So Ludwig pretends to be his brother with the help of his brother's wife and son to track down where his brother is and to investigate all the shenanigans going on at Cambridgeshire Police. Because it's filmed in Cambridgeshire.
It is.
We've been to Cambridge a lot, and there's a lot of very bits, obvious landmarks and that.
Bits we recognise.
Mm-hmm. A lot of stock footage was filmed from the top of a tower block next to the Funny Bridge.
Yeah.
Because it's in every freaking story, no matter which part of Cambridge it's in.
Newton's Bridge, the wooden one.
Oh, okay. The mathematical bridge, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's wonderful. David Mitchell is more well known as a stand-up comic or a game show comic.
Sketch comedy.
But he is superb in this. The suggestion is that he's probably on the spectrum.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of a beautiful mind thing going on when it comes to puzzles, any sort of puzzle, and he manages to solve 6 murders in just a couple of weeks while he's there.
While the coppers are there trying to figure out motive and objective, he just looks at the crime scenes and works out how it was done, and then the person who reacts to that is
the
murderer.
He did the whole thing with a logic puzzle in the first one, but they all kind of glazed over, so he just didn't bother telling them that bit after that. But, and meanwhile, he's also trying to find out where his brother's gone, because there's stuff going on within the force. People know stuff that they're not saying.
Things have been covered up.
They have.
Aliens.
Probably. You'll have to watch it and find out. But the woman who, his sister-in-law, is played by the actress who played Suki Minister on the Long Game. She was the rebel who was undercover. Her. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's funny. It's achingly sad in places. And it's just wonderful. It's like a mixture between Jonathan Creek and Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely fantastic seeing him work out these puzzles. And I'm not going to tell you what happens because that will spoil it, but do give Ludwig a go. Mm. That was probably 30 seconds.
So his brother isn't also a genius? They're not that
ideological. No, his brother's a clever man.
The brother's the clever man, but I don't think the brother is on the spectrum or as far on the spectrum as Ludwig is.
Okay. His brother's he's a detective.
Because he
hasn't solved all the crimes.
Well, he just nails down and focuses on one thing and ignores.
So they say it's not genetic, or is it partly
environment? Just because something's genetic doesn't mean everyone on that gene line is going to get it.
If they're identical. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't
matter. You're kind of missing the point of the...
The basic premise, I'm not quite sure I buy, that two identical brothers wouldn't be equally genius.
Well, it's just
genius.
One wears glasses, the other doesn't. Ah. Doesn't need glasses.
One's got hairy hands. Well,
yeah. Well, the thing is, they're both played by...
David Mitchell.
David Mitchell.
Right, but, identical.
Yeah. There is... One of the episodes has Derek Jacobi in it, who's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of famous faces in it popping up here and there, and it's just fun watching him work out. We played the who do we think did it at the beginning of each episode.
One that sticks into my mind is the one with the lock room.
That was extremely Jonathan Creek.
You're trying to figure out, because obviously it's a locked room, it can't be locked from the inside and the murderer leave, so how did they get out?
Aliens.
Again, it could have been aliens. Have to watch it and find out. So Ludwig, BBC iPlayer, give it a go. Right, as well as watching weird tales of the unexpected, we've listened to some equally weird Big Finish. Pause for music. We listened to this one on Sunday. All in one go, didn't we?
In one lump. Right, we have been listening to Doctor Who Night Thoughts.
Mm.
It's a 7th Doctor story, so it stars Sylvester McCoy, Sophie Aldred, and Philip Olivier as Hex, who's a Big Finish companion. He hasn't appeared in the TV series. That's my emphasis.
Was he a Virgin New Adventures companion?
No, I don't think so.
I
don't think so. He's a Big Finish original.
Okay.
Where they materialise on an island on the Outer Hebrides.
Where, remote Scottish mansion.
Yeah, yes. Where sinister things have been going on.
You missed the chance to use the word afoot there. Sinister things are afoot. It's so much better, and you wouldn't have ended your sentence in a preposition. I love you. Please stop glaring at me.
Perhaps I wanted to finish my sentence in a preposition.
With.
No, in. In. We're going in.
Anyway.
There was a group in the mansion house who are there for a scientific study during, what is it, holiday, the summer semester?
Yeah, there's a gap. I can't remember if it's Christmas or summer or what it was.
It's, it's during one of the holiday gaps. So they're there.
Well, it's murky, it's misty. It's
Well, I mean, it's the Outer Hebrides. And
it's always murky and misty.
No matter what time of year.
They're basically academics.
Yes, engaged allegedly in some form of research. The research to begin with is unspecified. We have a motley collection of characters. There's the Colonel, who definitely seems to be on the edge of a mental breakdown.
Throughout
the whole. He's a Major.
Sorry, the Major, who's on seems to be on the edge of a mental breakdown throughout the whole of it.
It's probably because you promoted him far before he was time was ready.
The Deacon.
The Bursar.
And the Bursar. And there is also at least two others whose names escape
Dr. O'Neill.
And
Sue was the Deacon, wasn't she?
Yeah.
No, Sue was
the little girl.
And there's Joe.
Joe.
And Happy the Rabbit.
Oh, and the bleeding rabbit.
I mean,
Motley crew.
I can't remember which one, but I know one of them doesn't really last very long because he's murdered in the first couple of us. Or so it comes a cropper in the first couple of episodes.
Yes.
All you can hear is, "Come into my parlour," said the spider to the fly.
One of the Doctor's speeches as he's having a conversation with someone is recorded.
Yes.
And on a tape deck. And the Killer uses it to taunt or lure other people to their demise.
Yes.
Basically, these academics, they're being haunted by ghosts of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And Hex is having some horrible nightmares.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
And then the Major is really nasty piece of work.
He is completely amoral and I think possibly a few sticks short of a whole bundle.
Pretty much. Yeah.
What is it that the Hex... Hex's ghost, because he's got this hooded apparition, keeps whistling something. Is it oranges and lemons?
Yes.
It's really creepy.
Yeah, yeah. vague sounds of a haunted house, but the ghost, for want of a better term, is a physical manifestation and a murderer.
Mm.
Yeah, because Hex keeps having this nightmare about being a little doll strapped to an operating table.
Yeah, watching people operate on this doll. Yes. The doll has had its eyes removed.
Oh, yes.
And for some reason, it is only just the doll, but for some reason it fills him with great terror.
Mm, yes.
It's and uncanny.
Was it the first murder? The person had had their eyes removed.
Yes, their eyes gouged out.
Which is a clue.
And then he was stuffed in a chest freezer.
Yes. But the story has a very unsettling, doom-laden flavour to it.
I found it very macabre for Doctor Who.
Yeah,
yeah, completely. Mm. Before listening to it, I had a rough idea, and I thought it might be a bit Chimes of Midnight-y, but it's not.
No.
It really, really isn't.
It's the Chimes of Midnight was a good story, a good ghost tale. Mm. This one goes in the other direction. It's still very good, but it's not a jolly ghost tale.
Not at all. No. There's even some time travel in it.
There is certainly time shenanigans. Mm. Are we spoiler musicking?
Spoiler music. Sha-la-la-la-la.
Sometime in the Ardens past, it was used for, Gravelax testing?
Yeah, which was rather like they did during the First World War with anthrax.
Nerf gas. And,
But the whole island has been decontaminated, apparently.
Mm, yes.
There was a little girl and her mother and her sister arrived at the island at some point in time in the past. The elder sister apparently succumbed to Gravelax poisoning and was euthanized for her own good.
Mm. Yes.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The Major had plans.
Yes. Yeah.
And maybe things weren't quite as they seemed.
It is all wrapped up and involved in the time travel experiment.
Mm. Yes.
Yep. So they're trying to send a message back to change the past, to which they're marginally successful because the Killer is a walking example of Schrodinger's cat.
Uh-huh. It's neither dead nor alive.
Neither dead nor alive.
Yeah. I did like the Doctor mocking them when they said, we're going to send a message back to stop it happening.
Yeah.
And he reacted as if he was talking to tiny children.
Yes. One of my favourite lines in this is between the Major and the Doctor, and the Major standing there, "Ah, so it's to be a battle of wits, is it?"
Thank you for not being armed when you arrived. arrived.
Yeah. Thank you for coming unarmed.
Yeah, but say, but when you hear the Doctor sort of say such phrases as, you know, with the ensuing paradox, it might make sort of bodies, you know, sort of twitch slightly in its grave.
Yeah.
Mm.
It certainly comes across to Sylvester as his most chess player.
Yeah.
As his emotionally detached, doing things because they have to be done.
Mm. Oh, yeah, particularly when he goes back in time.
Yeah. I don't want to call him at his most alien, but he's not
well,
the
I think that would be that would be a correct way of saying it.
He's not the friendly Doctor.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Because
there was a point where we thought he was going to end up murdering that little girl.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. For the greater good.
Certainly the chess player Doctor.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I really did. Some of them, especially if we're listening to them in one block and I'm lying down on the sofa, I find myself nodding off and waking up just as the last episode is starting, thinking, ah.
Back to the beginning.
That didn't make any sense
whatsoever. But this one, no, I stayed awake for the whole thing.
It is gripped. You were gripped.
I was gripped.
And apparently this was originally an idea for season 27.
Yeah.
So this, in a way, is the first lost story.
Yeah.
Though it's put in the main range.
Oh, it's a shame that, because it would have been a good one to see.
It would have been, I think it was set in the 80s, isn't it? But it'd be like a modern-day version of Ghostlight.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from, but I was getting Woman in Black vibes.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, because it was a mansion on an island and that.
Yes.
Mm. Completely isolated.
Yeah. Which what ghostly figure? Think of, yes.
Yeah. No, I'm really glad I stayed awake for it because it was a cracker, absolute cracker.
Yeah. The results of their experimentation with time and literally sort of reanimating the dead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was hidden inside a bear. Was it?
A stuffed bear.
Which does tie in with the Tales of the Unexpected episode, The Landlady.
It does. And I quite like the idea. There are theories of time travel where you have to create the time travel machine.
Yeah.
And then you can't go beyond the point where it was created.
Mm. Yeah.
And that incorporates
You just happen to have the prototype machine in the room where they did the euthanasia.
Not coincidentally.
Yeah, not coincidentally.
Mm. Okay, well, if anyone else has seen Night Thoughts and would like to share their thoughts...
Or even listen to it.
Mm. Well, do listen to it.
In your mind.
It's really Halloween. It's worth a listen.
Mm. It's a very
good Halloween episode.
October, November, isn't it? Mm.
Then you can write to us via show.
At
staggeringstories.net.
That was unnecessarily dragged out. So it's kind of his story, isn't it? He loves these sorts. He's looking all excited up there.
How can you tell?
It's the way the lips
sometimes
quiver.
You have to be a woman to know what a man's thinking.
Intuition.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee.
Hello, various Grunhilda Knobknackers, Nebulas and...
Nebulas.
Things. Dangerous Churchill, Nazi Spock,
Dave Zilla the Mighty.
Terrence!
Flambeau.
Various other things. I'm going to buy you some nails and a hammer, and you can put some of these damn pictures on the wall. Do we have any feedback?
We believe we do.
We have heard from Catherine.
Hello, Catherine.
She says, hello, Staggerers. Hello, Terence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. And hello, Head of Pertwee.
Mm.
Sorry it's been a few episodes, but time travel is a tricky thing.
Yes.
We are in the back stretch of the Maryland Renaissance Festival, and I have to admit things have gotten away from me. I have been super busy trying to keep dragons on the shelves and doing my best to keep the cat entertained as I do so.
Oh.
In the meantime, I've been listening to your podcasts, even if I haven't sent feedback.
Oh,
I
you
promise.
Poor thing.
You even covered stuff in this episode that I've seen and heard.
Wow, okay.
Makes a nice change, you know. Yeah. Well, except for the Beetlejuice sequel. I'll get to it eventually.
Oh, dear. Mm.
Curse of Fatal Death.
Oh, yes.
I just love this comedy special. So many quotable lines.
Yep.
Lick the mirror, handsome. They're etheric beam locators. And, of course, look, Emma. It's got 3 settings. I've shared this special with a lot of friends, even a couple who weren't fans, but they all loved it. Other than Game of Thrones, it's the only thing I've seen Jonathan Pryce in. I really should look him up. He's such a good actor.
Yes.
The stuff of legend. I listened to the recorded version a couple of weeks ago. Side note, it was a bit of a pain to do so, as I couldn't download it onto the original Big Finish app. and haven't been able to log on to the new one. I had to download it as an MP3, I think, which ended up as a standalone audio file.
Yep.
Multiple files, which meant I had to start each chapter after the previous one ended. Quite annoying. Loved the story, as I do pretty much any new Eighth Doctor and Charlie recording. I would happily pay again to hear the live version, or even get to see it performed, as you said there was cameras around the hall. That would be great fun.
I hope they do.
Listening to you all talk about the story, I can totally see how it was written to be performed live as opposed to the usual studio recording. When I manage to get it downloaded properly, I look forward to having another listen. Mustache, there are dragons to be made for our last two weekends here at the festival. Be well, my friends. Anon, Catherine, the Dragon Maker.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Now, our geography, as you know, when it comes to the US and that, is spotty at best.
Lacking.
I can't remember where Maryland is, but if you're anywhere near a hurricane, Maryland. Please be careful.
Yes.
It's in America.
Thank you, Keith.
Good luck to everyone out there.
Indeed. Yes. Jonathan Pryce. He's in Slow Horses at the moment on Apple TV, which I recommend. That's really good.
He was a Bond villain in one of
Tomorrow Never Dies?
Yeah, I think it was Tomorrow Never Dies.
Did he die horribly?
I'm sure probably. He did. He's been in loads of stuff.
But yes. Yeah. Again, he's one of these jobbing actors, but we do know who he is.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Any more feedback?
I think that's it, sadly.
Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww.
Thank God.
But never fear, in the next one, they'll be more of the same. Oh. More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more cool and new. So, until that.
B for big finish and burping.
Bollocking?
Bollockingly brilliant.
Boisterous.
Batch Brian of Blessed. Badgers. Followed bouncing. Brian Blessed bouncing.
Booming.
And booming along the boulevard.
Gordon's alive.
Towards us.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Have fun storming the castle.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, Number 456, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith and the Real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Testing, testing, 3, 2, 1.
That's good. Dusty bin, 1, 2, 3. Yep.
The snooker.
Yeah, that's the
snooker
yeah.
commentator.
I was trying to remember what that thing was that they watch with the balls and shit.
Football?
No. You don't have a quiet voice in football.
I'm not saying you did. You said the balls and stuff shit. There's balls and it is shit.
Slap yourself on the back of the head, please.
Thank you, boss.
Good boy.
Can we all pause for 2 or 3 seconds of
complete
silence so I can get that to...
Why did I hold my breath?
You should use silence from somewhere else so it will be deliberately distracting. Bing, bum, bing, bing, bing.
But you are not naked and undulating as in the
video. You want me to get naked? I can get naked and undulate.
Get naked and undulate.
Let me just get this off. Where's my truss?
There you go. This
who? I haven't got my magnifying glass with me. Oh, no, still haven't
Carefully
got my magnifying glass.
It it's not how big it is, it's what you do with it.
Oh, is that what you're told? Oh, sweetie. Can I touch your head again?
Please be aware, it's cold and wet, so things are going to be slightly...
Have you peed yourself again?
Where's the tenor for men's?
I'm going to burp now. I burped.
Was that it?
I know, that was quite pathetic.
You can do it quickly now if you want. I can slot it in.
He likes slotting things in.
Oh, yeah.
Baby. Oh, there it was.
A baby? A baroobie?